And now, the first story in this collection, The Huntsman, narrated by Adam Gruper.
A sweltering, muggy midday. Not a cloud in the sky. The scorched grass looks dejected and hopeless. Even if there were to be rain, it is too late for it to turn green now. The forest stands motionless and silent, as if the tops of the trees are looking somewhere or waiting for something. A tall, narrow-shouldered man of about 40, wearing a red shirt, high boots, and patched trousers handed down from his boss, is sauntering with a lazy swagger along the edge of the clearing. Now he is sauntering down the road. On the right is a mass of greenery, and on the left a gold ocean of ripened rye stretches as far as the eye can see. He is red-faced and sweating. A white cap with a straight jockey's peak, obviously a charitable gift from some gentleman, sits rakishly on his handsome head of fair hair. There is a game bag swung across his shoulder in which there is a squashed black grouse. The man is holding a cocked double-barreled gun in his hands and looking through narrowed eyes at his scraggy old dog, which has run on ahead and is sniffing around in the bushes. Everything alive has hidden from the heat.
Yegor Vlasich!
The huntsman suddenly hears a quiet voice. He gives a start and frowns when he turns round. A pale-faced woman of about 30, with a scythe in her hand, is standing beside him, as if she had just grown up out of the ground. She tries to look into his face and smiles shyly.
"Oh, it's you, Pelageya," the huntsman says as he comes to a stop and uncocks his gun.
What are you doing here?"
"There's women from our village working here, so I came along with them. As a laborer, Yegor Vlasich."
Yegor Vlasich mumbles as he walks slowly on. Pelageya follows him. They walk on about 20 paces without saying anything.
"I haven't seen you for a long time, Yegor Vlasich," says Pelageya, looking tenderly at the huntsman's moving shoulder blades. "You dropped into our hut to get drunk on vodka in Holy Week, but we haven't seen you since. You just dropped in for a minute or two in Holy Week, and when I think of the state you were in, all drunk you were. Swore at me you did, and beat me, and then you left. And I'd been waiting and waiting, keeping a lookout waiting for you. Ah, Yegor Vlasich, Yegor Vlasich, you might have stopped by just once."
"And what's there for me to do at your place?"
"Well, there's nothing much to do, of course, but you know, there's the housekeeping. You could look over things. You're the master. Hey, I see you've shot a grouse. Yegor Vlasich, you should sit down and have a rest."
Pelageya laughs like a fool as she says all this. Then she looks up into Yegor's face. Happiness is just radiating from her face. "Sit down? Could do," Yegor says in an indifferent tone, as he chooses a spot between two fir trees growing together. "Well, what are you standing there for? You sit down too." Pelageya sits down a little way off in the full glare of the sun and covers her smiling mouth with her hand, embarrassed by feeling so happy. A couple of minutes pass in silence.
"You might have stopped by just once," Pelageya says softly.
"Why?" says Yegor with a sigh, taking off his cap and wiping his red brow with his sleeve. "There's no point. Dropping in just for an hour or so would be a waste of time, and you just get upset. And I certainly couldn't put up with living in the village the whole time. I've been spoilt, as you know. I need a bed to sleep in, good tea, and nice conversations. Everything's got to be proper, whereas where you are in the village, it's just poverty and soot. I wouldn't last a day. Just supposing there was an order that I absolutely had to live with you, I'd either burn down the hut